chapter 2. Before we do, I'm going to ask Lynn, if he would, to pray for us. And I'm going to ask God to help us have wisdom, because the second chapter of Daniel is going to be a little bit different than anything you've read for a while. And for some of you, it's going to be a little different from anything you've ever read in the Bible. So I'm going to ask God, we want to ask Lynn to ask God to give us wisdom, and help us open our hearts, open our minds to His wisdom, His direction, okay? Let's pray.
Father in heaven, we thank you for today, and thank you for the opportunity to be here and look at your word and to learn from Daniel and to learn from all the people that we see in your word, the experiences that they have, and the ways that they dealt with life circumstances, and most of all, Father, that they depended on you. So we ask for your help this morning. Help you give us wisdom and life. Help us to look to you for knowledge, for understanding. And we pray that you will guide our hearts and minds today as we look into your word. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, if you don't know how to pronounce Nebuchadnezzar's name, that's all right, because I'm sure it's only his mama knew. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. I'm just the way my teachers did it. And if Miss Sister Blake pronounced it that way, you just better bet it was right. Okay. The second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled, and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. Now, hang on a second. Back up. If you haven't read this before, this will be a good refresher. But folks that did read it, tell me, who's he going to consult? If he consults the astrologers, the sorcerers, the magicians, and the enchanters, who is he going to include in that? Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, okay? Why? How do I know that's true? And I'm just giving you time to get settled. What? They're in charge of all those folks. Remember the end of chapter 1? They were exalted because they had proved themselves better, 10 times better than all the rest. All right. When they came in, look, he told them to tell them what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I have a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. The astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants a dream and we will interpret it. What are they asking? Seems a reasonable choice. Seems a reasonable request. What are they asking?
Tell
me what you dream. I'll figure it out for you. Keep reading. The king replied to the astrologers, this is what I firmly decided. Now we're going to do some reading, so stay with me. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I'm going to cut you into pieces and burn your house into piles of rubble. That is the biggest or else I've seen in a long time. So he had decided, I'm not going to tell them my dream. I'm going to make them tell me what my dream was and then interpret it. Keep reading. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me. Once more they replied, oh, let the king tell his servants the dream and we will interpret it. Reasonable request, right? What do you think, Justin? Right? Makes sense. Then the king answered, I am certain that you're trying to buy time, gain time, because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there's just one penalty for you. Do you remember the penalty? Cut to pieces and burn your house down. All right. You have conspired to tell me. Ooh. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then tell me the dream and I will know that you can interpret it for me. The astrologers answered the king, there is not a man on the earth. Does anybody hear anything there? Should there be a bell go off? Should be a light flashing? There is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. All right, people of faith do what? People of faith do what immediately? Yeah, there's God. God, There may not be a man on earth can do it, but do we know someone who can? Keep reading. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of the magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. Interesting what their faith was. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. Now, folks, kings like these kings were not like the king of England, all right? We're not talking here about Prince Charles and Queen Elizabeth. When you're talking about this guy, you're talking about somebody that even had more power than Hitler. You're talking about somebody, this guy's worse than Genghis Khan. Who's the biggest, baddest guy you ever knew? Nebuchadnezzar tops him. This man is evil to his core. And when he says he's going to execute all the wise men in Babylon, guess what he's about to do? He's about to cut them into pieces and burn down their house. So the decree was issued and to put wise men to death. Stop. Wise men to death means? Wise men to death means Daniel is about to die, and so are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Keep reading. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and the men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends. Look at the next phrase. Underline it. To put them to death. Now, folks, we got to stop just a second. I'm reading this, and we know the end of the story, so it's easy to read this. It's easy to read. I know what's coming. What's about to happen? God's going to save them. God's going to interpret the dream. We know the end of the story, but what if you didn't know the end of the story? What if you're Daniel? What if you're Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? What if you're those guys and you don't know the end of the story? You believe in God, you trust in God, but you don't know the end of the story. What are you thinking right now? When you know that there are people coming to track you down, and they know your address because you're one of the chief folks, right? They are coming to get you, to cut you to pieces, burn down your house. Your reaction is? Your reaction is? Run and hide. Total fear. Y'all are such good spiritual people. I've heard a few of us, though, when that kind of stuff starts to happen, when things don't go the way we want, when we've tried to do what's right and the boss doesn't listen, when we've tried to do what's right and our mate doesn't respond, when we try to do what's right and nobody immediately understands and hires us because what do? We start doubting God and we start getting mad at God and we end up, that's not fair. I have been living my life right. I've been doing what's right. I remember a kid saying it here one time. A young man said, man, I have been doing so good, man. I haven't gotten drunk and I haven't used any drugs, man. And I've been living right. And I don't understand why God doesn't help me. And I was just curious the way he said it. I said, man, I'm glad. How long have you been doing that? How long have you been trying? He said, well, I started Thursday. I think it was Sunday when he was telling me. We're not talking about that. Daniel, how devoted was Daniel? Resolved to the core. He was resolved not to defile himself. Even when it could cost him his life. He had done this for years. In fact, that test went on for 3 years, and that's what proved him to be better than the rest. And he doesn't whine here, folks. God help me to stop being that kind of whiner. Are there things going to happen in the world that are not fair? Mark it down. Write it down. Understand it. Are there things going to happen to good people that are not fair? So what do you do? Watch Daniel. He'll tell us. When this guy, and I don't know how you pronounce his name. It looks like Arioch to me. That's what I heard. But I heard another guy say Arosh. It sounded too much like Roach, so I'm going to stick with Molly Blake. Arioch. And the Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon. Daniel spoke to him, underlined these two words. He spoke to him with wisdom and tact. Where did we get the idea that when we're scared or when we're right and the other person's wrong, that it gives us the right to be hateful, the right to be irritable, the right to be whiny. He spoke to him with wisdom and tact. Underline the words. I'll let you define them. Let you work on it. But that's what a man of faith does. That's what a man of faith does when he's faced with things that are not fair. He approaches the problem with wisdom and tact. Now keep going. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went to the king, The guy that wants him dead, he went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. Now stop. I don't know how big a point there ought to be made here, but since James made the point, and of course Jesus would have inspired James to make the point, I want to make the point. You have not because you... Some of you have been reading your Bible long enough. You've got that verse memorized. I start it, you finish. If you have not because you... One more time. You have not because you ask not. Now, those of us who are just starting to read our Bible may not know that verse. But in the book of James, it says the reason you don't have sometimes is you don't ask. And the reason we don't ask sometimes is because we don't really believe God's going to answer it. We don't believe He either can or don't believe He will. Daniel has no such trouble. So I find him to be a man of wisdom and tact, and I find him to be a man that's willing to humble himself and ask. How hard is it to ask your boss? How hard is it to ask your mate? How hard is it to ask your parents? How hard is it to ask your best friend? How hard is it to ask your worst enemy? What are they going to do? At worst, what are they going to do? For you, they're going to say no. Oh, he can't believe he said no. He's not going to cut you in pieces and burn your house. So ask. Well, we get all bent out of shape. My boss did this. My boss did that. My wife did this. My husband did that. Have you ever asked they not do that? Well, they ought to know. We'll get that discussion later. He asked for time. Verse 17, when Daniel returned to the house, he explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He urged them to, now read this, plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Hang on. What did he do? What does a man of faith do? What does a man of faith do when he's faced with a situation that's unfair, when it's overwhelming, when it means it's all over? Shows his wisdom intact. He asks for time, and then he prays for mercy. And I like the fact that he included his friends in that. Real quick, just to give us a little exercise and breathing, because we're still trying to get all settled. Tell me somebody you'd call. Who would you call? Who would you text if you really needed somebody to pray for something? Boy, my mother's sick, or boy, my father's sick, or boy, my kids are rebelling, or boy, my wife is cold. Who would you call? Who would you call? Who would you text? Roger? Who would you call? There you go. Who would you text? Who would you text? All right, now that's you got people like that? Use them. And they pray for mercy from the God of heaven. All right, now listen to the prayer. Listen to the prayer. And I'm not going to teach anything from it. Just want us to hear it. We're listening to a man pray his heart. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. Do you know how hard it is not to stop and start teaching? He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me the wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we have asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. Stop. I told you I wouldn't teach. I didn't say I wouldn't give you a chance. Tell me one thing you learned from that prayer about Daniel. One thing you learn from that prayer about Daniel. He knows God. One thing you learn about Daniel from this prayer. He was a man that knew God and put his confidence. He starts thanking God. He's praising God. I thought this was an unfair deal. I thought this was a dangerous situation. It is. It is. So, what does he do? He approaches people with wisdom and tact. He brings his friends in to pray. They praise and thank God for the answer to their prayer. That's their faith. Keep reading verse 24. Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Hey, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I'll interpret the dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once. I like that phrase. And said, "I have found a man among the exiles." I love how he takes credit, right? "I have found the man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret this?" Now, this would be a perfect time for Daniel to do the same kind of thing and say what? Yeah, I got it. I'm the man. He could have strutted his stuff. He could have talked trash about all the other guys, and he could have thumped his chest and brayed like a mule. He could have taken all the credit, right? Listen to his heart. No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he is asked about. But there is a God in heaven. Folks, underline that phrase and let's quote it. Say it with me. There is a God in heaven. One more time. There is a God in heaven. I got swamped this weekend with teenagers asking me questions about, well, why did this happen and why did that happen? I thought I was in a Bible class with Catherine. I was getting so many why questions asked me. I had to throw that in there, Catherine. Why this happened? And it was horrible things. I'm not making light of those things at all. And the answer to most of those, if not all of those things that we ask sometimes, why did this baby have this problem? Why does that person die so young? Why did this happen to my friend? You know what the answer for most of those is? I don't know. But there is a God in heaven. Say it. There is a God in heaven. And what does he do? He reveals mysteries. Underline the phrase. God is the one that reveals mysteries, y'all. Now, he's about to reveal this dream, and we're going to spend a little bit of time on the dream, but not a lot. We're going to spend a little bit of time on it, but I want you to hear the point. God is the one that reveals mysteries. If God doesn't reveal it, guess what? It can't be revealed. So you can listen to some old boy give his explanation. You can listen to somebody explain what they think. And I've got no problem with somebody doing that, trying to figure out how way around the hurt that has happened because of these horrible things. But the truth is, there's only one who knows what happens and why. And there is a God in heaven, and he's the one who reveals mysteries. And if he doesn't reveal it, I can't. And the truth is, you can't either. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. But I got to tell you, I had fun. I've told you guys this before, but I had fun this weekend with a kid. He asked me some off-the-wall question. You know, and you know me. People ask me questions about stuff that have nothing to do with anything except some curiosity they run across in the Bible. I love the question always comes when Jesus cast out the demons out of Legion, remember? And they go into the pigs. I have no idea why. Instead of celebrating what happened for old Legion, fella, somebody wants to ask about the pigs. I'm serious. Almost every time I teach it, somebody says, "Brother Rex," and that Brother Rex stuff, you know something's wrong then. Brother Rex. Calling me Brother Rex doesn't make me any smarter. Brother Rex. Brother Rex. Brother Rex, what happened to those pigs? Do you care what happened to the pigs real quick? Do you care? I don't care. So what I told him, I said, that's just the first inspired discussion of deviled ham, and then went on. And he had the same kind of 30-second delay y'all had earlier, you know. Then somebody asked a more serious question. Somebody asked a more serious question about something that there's no way I could explain. It's impossible. Why did this happen to this person in this way? I don't know. But they were allowing the question why to keep them from their faith. So I've used this answer, and I'd encourage you to do it. I said, man, that's a valid question. I suspect there's a lot of people that have that question that have gone through what you've gone through. So let me encourage you to do this. Since God is the one who reveals mysteries, devote yourself to following Jesus and go to heaven. And when you get to heaven, God will explain it to you. Well, I'm mad at God. Well, okay, I understand you being mad at God, but follow Jesus, and when you get to heaven, you can tell God off. Because what matters most? Getting to glory. And if you get to glory, and when you get to glory, guess what you'll have with all those questions? They'll be answered. In fact, if you've got any more, just shut up, or they'll find out you're there and send you somewhere else. That's the way I feel. All right, keep going. That verse 28, you got to hang on to it. Circle it. There is a God in heaven. Say it. That's the answer. Well, why does this happen? And why does that happen? And why? There is a God in heaven. Say it. And he's the one that reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. He just began to interpret the dream. All right? It's about the things that are about to come, right? Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay in the bed are these. As you were laying there, the king, your mind turned to things to come. That's the revealer of mysteries. Who is that? God, make sure you note that, showed you what is going to happen when? In the future, in the days to come. Keep reading. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom. I love him. Look at the humble heart he's got. Not because I have greater wisdom than any other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. You looked, O king, and before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold. Mark it, circle that phrase. Head. The head was pure gold, all right? Its chest and arms, circle chest, was of silver, circle silver. Its belly and thighs of bronze. Its legs of iron and its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out. Now, note the point about the rock. Can you tell me the description of the rock? Keep reading. It was cut out, all right, but... All right, now think about it. If it was not cut by human hands, what do I know about this rock? Even before I understand anything else, what do I understand about this rock? God has a rock, had this rock prepared. I almost gave you too big a hint. God had this rock ready to do what is going to happen in the future. Keep going. Where am I? It struck the statue, we're verse 34, last part. It struck the statue on the feet of iron and clay and smashed them. The iron and the clay, the bronze and the silver and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on the threshing floor in the summer. What's chaff like on the threshing floor? It's dust, that's what it is. It blows away. Keep going. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. Now stop. Stop. If I know nothing else, don't you get Sunday school on me. Don't you get all churched. And I know the meaning of that. No. I'm not asking you to read the end of the story. And I'm glad she got up and left, because I got to tell you, the other day we start watching some series on TV. We like to save them up so we can watch them all at one time. Melanie went to the last episode and watched it so she wouldn't have to be nervous about all the other shows, didn't she? Freak. I'm not going to say that with her, and if she comes in here, what's said here stays here, right? I couldn't believe it. But some of y'all doing the same thing. Y'all are wanting to go, well, what's the head of gold, and what's that chest, and what's that belly, and those, and what's those thighs and feet? Stop. Don't worry about it. Who's got this handled? There is a God in heaven. Do I have to fret over that stuff? Oh, man, will you? Now you gotta fret over that stuff if you're gonna get on TV, but you don't have to fret about that stuff. Who's got it handled? God in heaven has it. There is a God in heaven, so keep reading. All right, where am I? This, verse 36, this was the dream, my bifocal shifted, and now we will interpret to you, O king. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion. That's a cool phrase. The God of heaven has given you dominion. All authority is there by God. Put Romans 13 in the margin of your Bible there. He has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them. You are the head of gold. God just handled it. Who is the head of gold on this statue? Nebuchadnezzar. So mark it down. Do you know what the head of gold is? Yes. Now, do you know that because you've got more wisdom than anybody else? Nope. God told you. All right. Keep reading. After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Hang on. What does all that mean? Huh? You don't worry about it. If God wants you to know, what will he do? He'll reveal it. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to reveal it. I'm not about to tell you where. I'm not, because if I said to turn to Daniel, in fact, Linda's already doing it. Turn to, if I told you that it's interpreted in Daniel chapter, you would start turning there. I told you in sign language, that's the only help you're getting. You would start turning. I don't want you to worry about, do I have to worry about it? Is there a God in heaven? Can I answer every question there's going to be asked of me about everybody, about everything that happens in the whole history of the world? There is a God in heaven. Is there a God in heaven? Yes, if there's a God in heaven, then I don't have to worry about it. I let him handle his stuff. What do I need to do? Be a person that deals with people with wisdom and tact. To be a person who gets my friends together and prays for mercy. To be the kind of person that acknowledges God and gives him the glory instead of taking the credit. That's what a man of faith does. Keep reading. Just as you saw the feet and toes were partly baked clay and partly of iron, so it will be with a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw the iron mixed with clay, as the toes were partly iron and partly clay. So this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. He explained that part. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. He's explaining it. So what's the picture I've got? Just what's the picture I've got of this statue? I've got a head of gold, I've got a chest of silver, I've got a belly of bronze or brass, and I got feet, legs of iron, and feet and toes of iron and clay. Describe it without interpreting it. It's unstable. It is an unstable statue. Why? What will the first storm do to that statue? It'll crumble it, and it'll be like dust. Because when it hits the ground, it will splinter, it'll splatter, it'll shatter. And the wind will blow it away like chaff. Keep reading. In the time of those kings, that's the kings of the iron and clay, of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom. Ooh. So we've heard, there's a kingdom with a head of gold that's Nebuchadnezzar. There's going to be another kingdom that's likened unto silver. There's going to be another kingdom that's likened unto bronze. And there's another kingdom that's likened unto iron with iron and clay. But there's also a kingdom. There's also a kingdom that's set up by the God of heaven. And it will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. Is Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom going to end? Daniel just told him. You think he's got some courage? Is the kingdom of silver going to end? Is the kingdom of bronze going to fall? Is the kingdom of iron and clay going to shatter? Yeah, but who is that and when is that? And how? There is a God in heaven. And if he wants us to know, he'll tell us. And if he doesn't, I don't worry about it. But here's what I do know. He's going to set up a kingdom In the days of those kings, he's going to set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will be left to another people. It's going to be his kingdom. In other words, it can't be conquered. Did you hear it? It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be conquered. Cannot be destroyed. Cannot be conquered. One more time. Cannot be destroyed. Cannot be conquered. It will crush all the kingdoms and bring them to an end. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot be conquered. And it cannot be defeated. It will crush all of those kingdoms and bring them to the end, but it will itself will endure forever. Now hang on, just real quick, if I know nothing else, which kingdom do you want to be a part of? I want to be a part of the kingdom of God, don't you? I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. That's where we'll stop. He's not going to explain the rest of the mystery, but I want to stop there because that's the lesson for us. What kingdom do you want to be a part of? I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. Now, I don't hear much about the kingdom of God until I get to a book, almost like a treatise that's written to Jewish people about the kingdom of God. It's written by a fella who understood the iron and clay of a kingdom and the power of the kingdom of God. His name was Matthew. And he writes a treatise that says he heard Jesus say, the kingdom of God is at hand. And Jesus repeats it, the kingdom of God is at hand. And the kingdom of God is like a sower. It goes forth to sow. I'm just walking through you the book of Matthew. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. And Matthew mentions the kingdom of God more than any of the other gospels, more than any of the other apostles. He mentions the kingdom of God. And so if I'm interested in this kingdom, if I'm interested in this kingdom that cannot be destroyed, that cannot be conquered, and cannot be defeated, if I am... and cannot be put to an end. If I want to be a part of that kingdom, maybe I ought to spend some time reading Matthew. Is there a God in heaven that's ready to reveal some things about that kingdom? He's going to tell us, I'm going to give you a hint, he's going to tell us about the silver, and he's going to tell us about the brass, and he's going to tell us about the iron. He's going to tell us just a few chapters from now, he's going to reveal that to us. That's not what I'm concerned about. I've spent way too much time in my life trying to figure all that stuff out. You know what I want to be a part of? I want to be a part of the kingdom of God that can't be destroyed, that can't be shaken. I want to be a part of the kingdom of God that is God reigning in my life and making it possible for me to be more than a conqueror, Romans 8 says. That's the kingdom I want to be a part in. So maybe, while we're remembering Jesus, we ought to think about that. Are you ready for Jesus to be your king? Because that's what being in his kingdom means. Are you ready for Jesus to be your king? I know this is not how to be done any other place, but we do a lot of things that wouldn't be done in any other place. But before Justin got here, Justin and I told him about your decision on Wednesday. And I want to point you out because I want these folks to welcome you into God's family. But you know what? Because of Justin's decision to follow Jesus and to let Jesus be his Lord, let Jesus be his King, you know where Justin is right now? He is in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God will grow into a mountain and will destroy all other kingdoms. What's going to happen with Russia? What's going to happen with China? What's going to happen with Obama? What's going to happen with Trump? Oh, what's going to happen? We get the old chicken little thing. Are we a part of a kingdom that cannot be destroyed? Are we a part of a kingdom that cannot be conquered? We are a part of a kingdom that is going to grow the size of a mountain and it's going to crush all the other kingdoms. So what kingdom do you want to be in? I want to be in his kingdom, right? So remember Jesus today. Remember Jesus today and let him, you know how that starts? You let him be the king in your life. You let him be the king in your life and in your heart. That's where it starts.